The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I'd like for us to begin today by reading, going directly to the book of Revelation, chapter 16, if you will join me there. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his veil into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the hail thereof was exceeding great. When Jesus Christ walked the earth, his disciples came to him and asked him that they would tell him about the time of the coming and the time of the end and about his second return. And Jesus goes through and he starts answering some of those questions, and he fills in a great, great amount of the details. And I want you to go now with me with that in mind to the book of Luke 21, Luke 21, verse 11. Luke 21, verse 11. "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places," or in different places, and most, what I would call reputable theologians, are saying that the word diverse, meaning different, means not only just in different places, and it certainly does mean that, but it is also meaning in more and more frequencies. This is how they're looking at it, is more and more often, as well as in different places where they may not have been in times past. But anyway, and he says, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilence and fearful signs and great signs shall there be from heaven." Well, brethren, with this major disaster happening this week on the island nation of Japan, today I think I'd like for us to take a look at the topic of earthquakes. There are so many ways that we can approach this, so many different things that we can see. But what we need to understand is there are many places in the Bible that speak about earthquakes, probably more places than most of us even have paid really that much attention to. But anyway, I think that we also can see, in fact, that as we just read in these two places in Revelation and Luke chapter 21, we can see the time of this present age and the events before the final judgment are portrayed after coming the increase of earthquakes in different places on the earth. I mean, that's one of the major signs that we're in that time. We're in the end and we're close to these things happening. In the New Testament, earthquakes are mentioned as precursors of the events surrounding the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, the prophet Zechariah even prophesies that an end-time earthquake will split the Mount of Olives into a north-south direction at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, as we just saw here in Luke 21, declared that earthquakes would be in different places. Revelation chapter 16, we read that first, speaks of the coming great earthquake, the coming great earthquake. It says, so great that it's not been one like this one since man has been upon the earth. And I would dare say that there have been earthquakes going back many, many, many thousands of the 6,000 years that man has been on the earth. The Bible tells us many different occasions of earthquakes. Now, whether man today, and I mean scientists today, will acknowledge that or not, we believe the Bible to be true, and I certainly believe that if God says there was this earthquake, then there was this earthquake, just because we can't look at it and see, well, here's the data on it, and here's the data of it, and all of those kinds of things. They're still there. They've happened, and we understand that. In fact, archaeologists, and through their digs today, are even coming to the conclusion that in the Palestine area, the Jerusalem, the state of Israel, and all through that Middle East area, archaeologists are finding more and more evidence that there have been many earthquakes to occur in that area. So we see that there's this great earthquake to come, and it is in connection with the pouring out of the seventh and the final seal upon all the earth. At this point, what I'd like to do is I'd like to give some information of what mankind would say are documented results of evidences of earthquakes. In other words, they can offer the proofs of earthquakes over the past 800 years or so. That's all I'm going. So it's simply back to that far. I'm going to give you a list of places, not asking you to write any of this down. It's for informational purposes, but I think it will be a good thing just to hear this. In 1201 AD, this goes back around 800, 810 years ago. You can figure that out. In Corinth, there were 45,000 who died. In the same year, in the Aegean Sea area, there were 100,000 died. In 1556, in Shanxi, China, 830,000 died. In 1727, Peking, China, 100,000 died. You're going to be overwhelmed by these numbers if you think about it and just hear this. And I'm going to make a point for all of this, and so I'm going to go through this list. 1755, in Portugal, 100,000. 1783, in Italy, 80,000. In 1908, in Italy, 160,000. Now we're getting down closer within our time frame because, you know, we heard in the news just a week or so ago, the last living survivor of the American Army of World War I just died. He was born in 1901. You know, and so he was alive at this one. I mean, I'm sure he didn't remember it, but he was alive. Probably he didn't even hear about it. But let's go on. 1927 in China, 200,000. 1970 in Peru, 66,000. In 1976 in China, 850,000. This is in our lifetime. This is in our lifetime when we should be remembering things. In 1990, in northwest Iran, 50,000. In July of 1990, in Baguio City, the Philippines, 1,700. In September of 93, in India, 9,800. In January 97, on the island of Japan, 6,500. In July 1998, in New Guinea, 2,200. In January of 99, Colombia, 1,200. In August of 99, Turkey, 45,000. In September of 99, in the area of Taiwan, 2,400. December the 26th, 2004, in Indonesia, 276,000. In March the 28th, 2005, Indonesia, 1,400. On March the 11th, 2011, Japan estimated into the thousands. I'm giving you this list because these are only a few of the major earthquakes that have happened in the last 810 years or so. There are many, many others that I didn't list. These are the ones that I just picked out because of the numbers, and I think you understand that's, you know, is what we're doing here. Collectively, just going back to the dates that I gave you down through, not even counting in yesterday's death toll, because we don't know what it is, collectively, they have claimed well in excess of 2.8 million people. China suffering the greatest number of loss. All of these nations I lifted are Gentile. Now that in itself is also significant. And I think that's a significant thing. So what does God have to say about earthquakes? Well, like I said, probably a great deal more than most of us even are aware of. Well, let's see some things about earthquakes in the Bible. According to the Bible, the islands and the mountainous regions are going to be affected. Let's go with me to the book of Psalms. We read some of these passages, and without thinking about what it actually is talking about, I think sometimes we miss some of these things. But let's go to Psalm 114, verse 6. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. Have you ever thought about this? It's probably talking about earthquakes. Yes, I understand. It can certainly also be applying to nations and smaller nations, because mountains and hills, a lot of times in prophecy in the Bible, it is talking about nations, and I understand that. But this also could be synonymous with earthquakes happening, and it be symbolic of what God is going to do. Verse 6, you mountains that you skip like rams, and you little hills like lambs. Said it could be talking about kingdoms or nations, or it could be speaking about earthquakes, or both. We also understand from looking in the scriptures that frequently, quite often, earthquakes are accompanied by other natural disasters. I want to show you some, and so let's start with the first one that I have, and that is volcanic eruptions. And I want to show you this from Bible scriptures. Not necessarily, I'm not looking at scientific evidence. I'm not talking about that. I'm looking at from the Bible. And so let's go for the first one here, volcanic eruption, Psalm 104, verse 32. He looked on the earth, and it trembled. He touched the hills, and they smoke. What do you think I was talking about if that's not volcanic eruptions? Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 5. The minor prophet Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 5. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yes, the earth and all that dwell therein. They are burning, and we today would look at this and we would say, this is talking about volcanic activity. It's the overflowing. Earthquakes happen, volcanoes erupt as a result of those kinds of happenings. A second one with accompanied with natural disaster is the uncontrollable shaking and ebbing, and I mean ebbing, the back and forth of the sea. It could be describing tsunamis, but we see it in scripture here that that's very likely it is this uncontrollable shaking of the sea, and this is the thing, and it's connected with earthquakes. Let's go to 2 Samuel 22 and verse 8. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because of his wrath. Who is the his? God's. Verse 16, and the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. This is talking about the uncontrollable shaking. This is an earthquake. The moving is just talking about earthquakes. And it's connecting here, and it's talking about uncontrollable shaking. The waves getting bigger and bigger and all of those kinds of things. We saw some of this in the news yesterday, and I'm sure many of you saw some of that. These tidal waves were coming in. Maybe not as large as they had first predicted or thought it might be, and we thank God that it wasn't any bigger than it was. But it still happens, and this is one of the natural disasters that sometimes or quite often happens when an earthquake occurs. A third one is a natural disaster is the opening of the earth. Let's go to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers 16. You probably are many familiar with this account, but you might not have thought about it just like this. Numbers 16 and verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth. In other words, there was this rumbling of the earth. We call that an earthquake. And then there was the opening up of the earth. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. In other words, it opened up and it swallowed them up. And we talk about how God opened up the earth, but we tend to not notice that there was this shaking of the earth. There was this apparent earthquake, and the earth opened up, which is one of the natural disasters that happens. Now, I've had opportunity to live in a California area, and I've been able to see what is there is referred to as the San Andreas Fault. And you can see where the earth just simply opened up, where the earth at one time was together, and you can see that it has split and it has shifted, and you can stand up and you can look down and you can see this. You can observe it. That's an obvious what it is. Without even being a scientist, you can see that that's what it is. So one of the natural disasters that happened is that of the earth shifting or opening of the earth. A next one that I want to cover and just briefly mention here is the overturning of mountains. Let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. That's a very important verse to understand. God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear. In other words, putting it in a more way that we would say it. Therefore, as a result of God being our refuge, God's being the one, he is our strength, and he is our present help, we're not going to fear. We're not going to fear. Though the earth be moved, or the earth be removed, that's earthquakes. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, natural disaster that occurs in mountainous areas. When earthquakes occur in those areas, mountains start falling down. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And his feet, this is Jesus' feet, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. Cleave. That's an earthquake. This is a mountain. There's an earthquake, and there is this overturning of mountains as a result of this. And then it says, and there shall be a very great valley. In other words, as a result of this happening, Jesus' feet, he comes back, he stands on the Mount of Olives. It's going, the mountain area there is going to cleave. It's going to separate. Before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. In other words, there's going to be a north and south divide, is what this is saying. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. It's going to split, and it's going to go in those two directions. But there's going to be the overturning or overthrowing of mountains as one of the natural happenings as a result of earthquakes. It's predicted to happen even when Jesus Christ comes and stands on the Mount of Olives. A fifth one that we see things that frequently happen, natural disasters that happen, is the tearing apart or the shattering of rocks. And I use this phrase because of the verse that we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51. Matthew 27 and verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. In other words, the tearing apart or shattering of rocks. This is probably a better, you know, it's a tearing of rocks. We don't think about rocks tearing. We think about, you know, the tearing apart of them. We don't use this word rent, you know, so much today in our modern language or usage, but we understand it from Bible usage, but that's what it was talking about. Tearing apart or shattering of rocks as a result, and that was at the time of the death of Jesus. So what can we see from looking at this topic of earthquakes? Well, I think that we can see several things, but what I want to show at this point, I want us to see that earthquakes are a visible mark or a visible evidence of at least three things of God. It's showing us at least three things that pertain to God. The first one that I want us to look at is God's power. We see God's power that is evident through the happening of earthquakes. Let's go to Job chapter 9 and verse 6. Job chapter 9 and verse 6. Which shakes the earth out of her place and the pillars thereof tremble. Job chapter 9 and verse 6, which shakes the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. This is the power of God. This is, you read the whole context, I could read several verses to show you this, but this is where it actually said this is what's happening. And we see that this is part of the power of God. Let's go to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews 12 and verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And we saw at the beginning of the sermon that God is going to do that at the end of the age. At the end of the time, Jesus' disciples come and says, what's going to be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? What can we look at? He told them all of these things, and one of those is going to be this earthquake. It's going to be so tremendous. It's bigger than, brighter than, bolder than, more well known to be a major earthquake than man has been on the earth. And that's prophesied to happen. And so we understand one of the things that we see from earthquakes is God's incredible, awesome power. The second thing that we see from earthquakes is the evidences of God's presence. God's presence. Let's go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 7. Psalm 68 and verse 7. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you did march through the wilderness, Selah, think about this. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped down at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Do you ever think about it and recognize, you know, that there was an earthquake that occurred? You know, they came, he brought them there, and it says, and separate yourself for 3 days from your wives and prepare yourself, because on the third day such and such is going to happen, and it's going to be the giving of the law and those kinds of things. There was an earthquake that took place. It showed the presence of God. Let's go to Psalm 114 in verse 7. 114 in verse 7. It says, tremble, you earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Not from a scientific point of view, but why does earthquakes occur? Because of the power of God, and because of God's presence can be seen through them. Because he wants us to see it. He wants us to see his power. How great and how awesome this being really is. And the third thing that I want to show, it shows an evidence of God's anger. Psalm 18 in verse 7. Psalm 18, verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because of his wrath. Or his anger. The next one that I want to see is Psalm 60 and verse 2. This is still under the third evidence. This is showing God's anger. Psalm 60 and verse 2. You have made the earth to tremble. But who is the you have made the earth to tremble? God. You have made the earth to tremble. You have broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shakes. Isaiah 13 and verse 13. Isaiah 13 and verse 13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. So three very, very powerful evidences, things that we can see as a result of earthquakes, is God's power, God's presence, and God's anger. They are an evidence that we can see who's in charge. It's about God. God's in charge. Another important point that we need to see about earthquakes is that mankind seems to always be troubled or terrified by earthquakes. Now, I have a question for you. Have any of you ever been in an earthquake? It is an uneasy feeling when the ground begins to reel back and forth under your feet. Or you're in a building, and the building starts to sway back and forth, movement, and you're in the building, and you know the building is moving because you are moving, and you can look outside, and you know that you're moving. This is a very uneasy feeling, and if you want to use the word fearful, and I'm okay for using that, and the point being is, we even were knowing what was happening, and we knew God's plan of salvation, and it was still terrifying. So yes, I understand. One of the important things and a point to understand about learning about earthquakes is man is always terrified by earthquakes. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 16. I read part of this earlier, but I'm going to go back there again. This is still in talking about Korah's rebellion. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, and they all said, lest the earth swallow us up also. They were fearful. They saw what happened. They saw that there was this earthquake, and then the earth opened up. We covered that. It's one of the natural disasters that sometimes happen is the earth opening up. Korah and all of his people, they were swallowed up, all their belongings in the earth, like it also does a lot of times. It moves back to where it was. And all the people that were round about them, they fled. They ran away. They were fearful because of this. This is a natural human reaction. And we can see it in the news whenever there are earthquakes going on. Have you ever wondered why, whenever there's an earthquake and they show it on the news and the people don't go back into their houses? It can be rain. It can be all kinds of things. And we've seen that in the news over the past few years. The people don't go back in their houses because you can't see it. You don't know what's happening. When you're inside and that starts happening, you just don't know. There is this uneasy. There is this fear of what is about to happen. So they all stay outside. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 5. Zechariah 14 and verse 5. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yes, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Make a comment here. Matthew 24 and verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, this is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when they saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. Truly this was the Son of God. Now, commentaries say, some of them are divided on they feared greatly. It's because of the earthquake or because they were fearful because they realized this was the Son of God and what they had done. Now, I don't know which one it was. It's probably both. Because man is fearful when there's an earthquake. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 13. Revelation 11 and verse 13. And the same hour there were a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Thank you, God, that they have been spared. There's fear. I mean, it's recorded. It's there. We can read it from Scripture. We can see it in news. When there's a newscast and there's been an earthquake and they're interviewing people, there is fear because of earthquakes. I want to mention some of the examples of when earthquakes are shown in Scripture. The first one I want to mention is back in Exodus chapter 19. We're going to read verse 18. This is at Mount Sinai. This is at the time of the giving of the law to Israel. Exodus 19 in verse 18, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So we see in Scripture one of the occasions that when there was an earthquake that is recorded for us very, very clearly is at the time on Mount Sinai at the giving of the law. A second one is when Israel was in the wilderness. We've read this in times past, but I want to read it again here in this context in the wilderness. It's in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. A third occasion of mentioning of an earthquake in Scripture is in the strongholds of the Philistines. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel 14, verse 15. This is at the time of King Saul and Jonathan. This is the occasion, what's going on. In verse 15, he says, "And there were trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling." This is an earthquake, which Scripture records it during the time of King Saul. A fourth one is when Elijah fled from Jezebel. Let's go to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. And the Lord was not in the earthquake." God's getting his attention. So there was this mighty wind, it shattered rocks and all of those things. And then there was this earthquake, and God still wasn't there. This is the occasion when he gets his attention through that, and then he says, "But there was a still small voice." See, God can get our attention in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways he works to get the attention of believers is through earthquakes. We're to learn from them. We're to see things about God. A fifth occasion of mentioned earthquakes in Scripture is during the time of King Uzziah's reign. Let's go to Amos chapter 1, one of the minor prophets. This is the first chapter, the first verse of this book, and it's interesting. In the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. He dates his prophecy 2 years before the earthquake. This is how this starts off. That's interesting. Now let's go to Zechariah 14 in verse 5. We read this before, but I want to go here. Zechariah 14, 5. "And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, yes, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with you." Two different times. This is in a minor prophets, and then this is one of the prophecies in Zechariah. This is a prophecy describing the coming of the Lord. End time event that he is prophesying here, and he says, and the people of earth, they're going to be fearful, and they're going to flee, just like they did in the days of Uzziah. Interesting to me that it must have been a major happening for two of the prophets of God to speak about the same earthquake, and they use it as part of their timeline and how people are going to react. A sixth thing that happens in Scripture of mentioning of earthquakes is at Jesus' death. At Jesus' death. Matthew 27 and verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." The rocks tore. A seventh thing is at Jesus' resurrection. 3 days later, Matthew 28 and verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." But an earthquake occurred. It occurred at his death. It occurred in his resurrection. And it's going to occur at his coming. A thing that I want to mention where earthquakes are mentioned in Scripture is at Philippi. This is when Paul is in jail. This is the Philippian jailer and all of that account. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 26. Acts 16 and verse 26. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." And this is where the jailer thought, well, they've all escaped, and therefore he's going to kill himself. And Paul says, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. We're all here, and the implication is all the prisoners, not just Paul and Silas is with him. All of the prisoners stayed. Paul and Silas had been singing about God, the praise of God, and all the prisoners were listening. An earthquake occurred, opened it up, and they didn't leave. It was, you think that was not to get the attention of the jailer? Absolutely. Absolutely. Earthquakes are also prophesied to happen at the time of the end. Matthew 24 and verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." This is Matthew's wording about answering to the question, what is it going to be like at the time of the end and the sign of your coming? And Jesus answered. And one of the things that's happening here is there's going to be earthquakes prophesied to happen at the end of the age. Luke 21:11, "And great earthquakes," plural, "earthquakes, shall be in different places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful signs, and great signs shall be there from heaven." This end time generation is experiencing what I would consider to be an end time scene, or an end time seeing, an end time knowing, an end time realization that has never been seen like this. Even though there's been all these earthquakes down through history, there have been all of these things down through history, but the frequency is happening more and more. That is documented. Let me give you again, not ask you to take notes on this, but it's interesting information. And I'm going to give you some statistical information on the number of occurrences of earthquakes. And I'm going to only go back to 1890 to 1900. From 1890 to 1900, there was one. 1900 to 1910, there were three. 1910, 1920, there were two. 1920 to 1930, there were two. 1930 to 1940, there were five. Hang in with me. 1940 to 1950, there were four. 1950 to 1960, there were nine. 1960 to 1970, there were 13. It's already more. 1970 to 1980, 46. 1980 to 1990, 52. In the year 2000, 149, 2001, 110, 2002, 92, 2003, 140, 2004, 149, 2005, 200. That's just all I have is through those dates. There has been a definite increase in the number and occurrences of earthquakes in different places, and the volume of them is definitely, you know, it has been rising in these past few years. Almost 3 million people, I showed you that earlier, died during the last 810 years or so of the major earthquakes. I didn't give you the minor ones. I only gave you the major ones. Earthquakes are also prophesied at Jesus' second coming. Zechariah 14:4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. So I think we probably need to ask some questions. Why are there earthquakes? I don't mean from a scientific reason or reasons. I'm not talking because of the earth shifts and it's this and that. I'm not asking that. That's not the point. Why does God use earthquakes? God uses earthquakes as a means of what I would consider to be a graphic display visualization of who he is. He wants us to see and he wants us to realize some things through the recognizing of earthquakes. They are a powerful occurrence, a powerful happening in the earth. They are increasing. We have more technology that we can not just learn about them, we can see them as they're happening. And he wants us to know some things, and he wants us to understand some things. And so I want to show you here two major things that God is showing us through earthquakes. Are there others? Probably. But I believe these are two of the major things that he is showing us through earthquakes. It's a given that because he's in charge, because he is God. I'm not even listing that one as one of the two. Two major reasons that I think that he is showing us through earthquake. Number one is the judgments of God. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 19. Isaiah 24 and verse 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. That's because of judgment. And he's describing earthquakes. Isaiah 29 in verse 6. You shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. Some of that could simply be volcanoes as a result of the earthquakes. I don't know if you've ever experienced to be in an area where there's been a volcano. We lived in an area where there was a volcano that occurred thousands or at least hundreds of miles away. And for days, we were wiping the ash off of our cars for hundreds of miles away whenever there was a volcano that happened. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 24. This is still under the same point that we see major things that God is showing us through earthquake is the judgments of God. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 24. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. This is the judgment of God. This is what this is describing. I mean, I'm picking out the verse where it's talking about that the earthquake is occurring. You read the whole thing. I'm not reading all of the verses all around it, but you see, this is talking about the judgment of God. Another is in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Very, very clear. This is in regards to judgments of God upon the earth. A second thing that God is showing us through earthquakes is the overthrow of kingdoms. Haggai 2 and verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Now, you can read all of the verses in between, but come on down to verse 22, and I'll show you that it's the overthrow of kingdoms. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. This is the result. We see some powerful things of why he has earthquakes and why they are there. So what does all of this mean to us as believers? Jesus himself actually answered this question. It was back when his disciples came and said, tell us about the end and the sign of your coming. What's it going to be like? And so I'd like for us to read his comment to us. So please go with me once again to the book of Luke 21. And let's begin reading in verse 31. Luke 21 and verse 31. And so likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now he's been talking about earthquakes and pestilence and famines. He's been talking about describing the end time. It was a question that was asked. He's answering it, what it's going to be like. And so this is, well, what is God wanting us to get out of all of this? And I'm using just to illustrate today of just earthquakes. Well, this is what he's telling us. And so likewise you, when you see all these come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Thank you, God. It's almost all over. Jesus Christ is about to return. And we thank God for knowing that this is what he's going to do. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. All these things that we've been seeing, all these things that he's telling us, and one of those occurrences is earthquakes. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Take heed to yourselves. In other words, this is a warning to us. This is a warning to us. This is a warning because who is he answering this question to? The disciples. This is a warning to the church. Yes, I will be willing to say that earthquakes are there as a warning to the church. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. What day come upon you unawares? The end time and the returning of Jesus Christ and all of these things that are going to happen, that are going to occur at his coming. We've seen these things. The vials are going to be poured out. There's going to be an earthquake that's going to hurt. All of these things. He said, all these things could come upon you because you're not aware. You're not paying attention. We are to be paying attention. We are to know that they are going to be happening. He wants us to know these things are going to be happening. Who's in charge? God is in charge. For as a snare, it shall come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Here's the major warning. Watch you therefore, and pray always. What do we pray? He answered that. When you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are the great God. You're in charge. You're the one who's in charge of all of these things. And we bless your name and we thank you for who you are. Thy kingdom come. This is all over. This is a warning. Earthquakes are a warning to the church. And we can look at it and say, yeah, but all these people die. You know, almost 3 million people in the last 800 years or so have died as a result of earthquakes. Yeah, God's in charge. He knows what he's doing. He's getting the attention of the church of God. And there are too many in the church of God today are off doing too many things that are not pleasing to God. I'm sorry. So what's happening? This is a warning to the church of God. Verse 36, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. to stand. All the earth is going to stand before the Son of Man at the resurrection. Everybody's going to stand. This is talking about that we're able to stand before Him as a Son of God. Everybody's going to stand before God and give an account. That's what it says. This is what Scripture shows. This is talking about that we can stand before the Son of God as His brother, as His bride. Because we've been watching, because we've been praying. So the conclusion to this subject of earthquakes to me is, yeah, there's a lot more information. But the conclusion to us is that we need to let us be watching and know that God is in control. He knows what He is doing. And He's told us this almost 2,000 years ago, but He gave record of this as what was happening 4,000 years before that. You know, so He's told us all through the history of mankind how He deals, and here's earthquakes, and this is what He's doing. It's always been to show that I am God, that I'm in charge, and I need you to do what I want you to do. And so He tells us here at the end of the age, this generation shall not pass through all of these things, you know, occurring. I believe that we're part of that end time generation. Now, whether that comes in the next 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, or 100 years, or 200 years, we're still a part of this. And so the warning is to us, watch you therefore and pray always that we be able to stand before the Son of God. And like I said, one of the biggies that we're to be praying is, Thy kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus. Are we going to hear the warning? I think through earthquakes, we are warned. God is in charge. The Aaronic blessing. And speaking to Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.